Thank you. This guy's down the track, Srimad Prabhupada. Rajaraj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki. Sri Sri Radharada
Jai.
Sri Sri Nijai Gaura
Jai.
Sankirtan Yadya Ki.
Jai.
Gopinandya Ki. All glories to this Holy. All glories to this Holy. All glories to this Holy. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 5, Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. Texts 27 and 28. Sparshan Kritva Bahirva Yanj, Chakshus Chayavan Tare Rubo. Prana pano samo kritva nasa vyantara charena yatendriya mano mudhir munir moksha parayana vigatecha vaya kroyo yasada mukta evasa. Translation. Shutting out all external sense objects, keeping the eyes and vision concentrated between the two eyebrows, suspending the inward and outward breaths within the nostrils, and thus controlling the mind, senses, and intelligence. The transcendentalist, aiming at liberation, becomes free from desire, fear, and anger. One who is always in this state is certainly liberated. Who chose this phrase? Interesting. Isn't it? Devoted by Shapoga. Being engaged in Krishna consciousness, one can immediately understand one's spiritual identity. And then, one can understand the Supreme Lord by means of devotional service. When one is well situated in devotional service, one comes to the transcendental position, qualified to feel the presence of the Lord in the sphere of one's activity. This particular position is called liberation in the Supreme. After explaining the above principles of liberation in the Supreme, the Lord gives instruction to Arjuna as to how one can come to that position by the practice of the mysticism or yoga known as Ashtanga Yoga, which is divisible into an eightfold procedure called Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, and samadhi. In the sixth chapter, the subject of yoga is explicitly detailed, and at the end of the fifth, it is only preliminarily explained. One has to drive out the sense objects, such as sound, touch, form, taste, and smell, by the pratyahara process in yoga, and then keep the vision of the eyes between the two eyebrows, and concentrate on the tip of the nose with half-closed lids. There is no benefit in closing the eyes altogether, because then there is every chance of falling asleep. Nor is there benefit in opening the eyes completely, because then there is the hazard of being attracted by sense objects. The breathing movement is restrained within the nostrils by neutralizing the up-moving and down-moving air within the body. By practice of such yoga, one is able to gain control over the senses, refrain from outward sense objects, and thus prepare oneself for liberation in the Supreme. This yoga process helps one become free from all kinds of fear and anger, and thus feel the presence of the Supersoul in the transcendental situation. In other words, Krishna consciousness is the easiest process of executing yoga principles. This will be thoroughly explained in the next chapter. A Krishna conscious person, however, being always engaged in devotional service, does not risk losing his senses to some other engagement. This is a better way of controlling the senses than by Ashtanga yoga. Sparshan kritva mahirva yams chakshus chailantare prana pano samo kritva nasha pyantara chayana yatendriya mano budhir mudhir moksha pradayana vigatecha vaya krodho yasada mukta evasa. Translation: shutting out all external sense objects, keeping the eyes and vision concentrated between the two eyebrows, suspending the inward and outward breaths within the nostrils, and thus controlling the mind, senses, and intelligence. The transcendentalist aiming at liberation becomes free from desire, fear, and anger. One who is always in this state is certainly liberated. Om Yavatamrabhasya Jnana Jalashalakaya Chakshamrabhasya Kasvaya Shri Guru Rehna Shri Chitamkaro Vishnam Stavitam Jena Bhutane Swayam Rupa Kadavaya Pradati Swamana Vachikalpatrivyasya Krikasya Divyayasya Adhidharam Padmevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhana Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Well, it's very nice to be here with you all again in Reservoir Hills. It appears that I haven't been here for quite some time, because last time I came, we were up in the school. Yes. So, I believe that was earlier this year, or was it the end of last year? Perhaps something like that, several months ago. Yes. So, I didn't realize I hadn't been here for such a long time. But it's very nice to be here and see you all again. And actually, it's very nice to be in this place because I've been keeping well aware that in 1975, when Srila Prabhupada came to South Africa, he did a program right here. The hall, of course, was not here at that time, but it was right here on these grounds at this. And there was one marquee here, I think it was like a permanent marquee, something. Anyway, there was one large tent here. Srila Prabhupada did a program. Of course, I wasn't here myself. I assumed I was Sahaja Prabhu and Brahmanuja Acharya Prabhu. I assumed they must have been here. But as far as, as far as I'm aware, Srila Prabhupada was sitting down at this end, facing up, something like that. As a matter of interest, were any of you here for that program? Any of you Reservoir Hills residents? You missed out. Prabhupada was right on your doorstep. Oh dear. 35 years.
Yes, well,
I remember Sri Hari Prabhu, you probably know Sri Hari. He told me that he was walking in Bombini, in that one that area where the Lakshmi Narayan Hall is, and he saw there's some big thing going on in the Lakshmi Narayan Hall, and lots of cars and people, and everyone was going to the hall, so he walked by. He walked up and he looked inside, and there was Srila Prabhupada sitting on Big Vyasasan and just beginning the program. So Sri Hari Prabhu told me, he looked in, he saw Prabhupada quite clearly, but then he carried on. But at least he saw him. At least he saw him. That's nice. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada was right around here, where we are now. So that means this place is a sanctified place, actually. It's a sanctified place. In India, in some places, wherever Lord Chaitanya went, even if he only just went for some brief period, like some minutes, or an hour, or something like that, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati installed shrines in many places where Lord Chaitanya stopped and did something, even just extremely briefly. So this is a sanctified place. And whenever I would come up this hill, generally on my way to the school up there to be with you all, I would look across at this hall and think, wouldn't it be nice to do some programs here at this place where Srila Prabhupada was? Because there's a very important and real connection, actually, even though it's 25 years ago. But there still remains a very real connection there. Kind of transcendental atmosphere. Sanctified atmosphere. Due to the presence and blessings of such a great devotee, great, great devotee as Srila Prabhupada. Now, these verses which have been chosen tonight, they are really very interesting. The next chapter is called Dhyana Yoga. Dhyana, as Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport, as we've just read, Dhyana is the seventh of the eight stages of Ashtanga Yoga. Ashtanga means eight limbs, or eight branches. That yoga which has eight branches, eight divisions or stages. Beginning with Yama, then Niyama, Yama means things which you should not do. Niyama means things which you should do. Then asana. Asana means different physical positions. Sitting cross-legged as we are doing now. Or, yes, certainly I think you're familiar with that a little bit. What is currently called hatha yoga, where you do all sorts of physical exercises. And that is assisting one, to some extent, or in certain respects, in one's spiritual development. Then, pranayama, the breathing exercises. You know, traditionally in India, if a person is suffering from some form of psychological problem, some sort of mental instability, or even to go so far as to say some type of insanity, then the standard remedy, or at least the initial analysis and diagnosis of the problem in terms of its causes and its nature will be in terms of some imbalances in the movements of air within the body, believe it or not. They don't give you some tranquilizers. Anyway, they don't give you some tranquilizers. Or trying to sort of psych you up in some way by telling you that it's okay. Or somehow or other trying to pick your spirits up. No, they do something to change the balance of ears in your body. In fact, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there is a description of when Lord Chaitanya was first starting to manifest his symptoms of love of God. For some years, Lord Chaitanya was not displaying any particularly divine symptoms or even symptoms of being a devotee. In fact, he would often mock the devotees. And this was his pastime. Like you may have heard, there was one devotee, Kolavecha Sridhar. Kola in Bengali means banana. Kolavecha, he was selling bananas and everything to do with them, the leaves, the flowers, the skins and whatnot, everything. He was Kolavecha Sridhar and he was a very nice devotee. And he was very devoted to Mother Ganges. In fact, he was so devoted that whatever income he would get through selling his bananas and different parts of the banana plants, he would immediately, every day, give half of that for the worship of the Ganges. Yes. And he was not making very much. Not making very much at all. He just had one set of cloth. He would wash that at night. Next morning he would wear it again. And living in some little straw hut, something like that. He was very, very poor. What if we asked all of you to give 50% of your income? How would that be? Would that be okay? No comments? Everyone take a third. But he was doing that. One half. So Lord Chaitanya would come and tell Kolavecha, we'd ask him how much of the banana. Kolavecha would give him the right price. Normally in India, of course, you don't get the right price. There's normally an inflated price first, and you have to then bargain and remove your weight down Yes. So but cultivate that. He would give the right price every time. Just the fair price. So Lord Chaitanya, oh, you would really give him a hard time. He would tell him, you're asking so much, trying to charge so much money. You're making such a big profit. No wonder you're able to give half of your income for the worship of the Ganges, because you're making so much. You've just got such an excess. The Kulavicha, very humble devotee, he would say, no, really. This is the fair price. And I'm not making extra profit. I'm hardly making any profit. I'm barely existing. So please, just pay the price. Take your bananas and go. Lord Chaitanya told him, no. I am your old customer. I like bargaining with you. So I will stay. So he would just harass him and harass him. Sometimes he would just steal the bananas and run. At other times he would just take some, just put some money on the table and go. That is a common bargaining table in India. And I just hope they don't come in and have to do that, although sometimes they do. And Kulavicha Sridhar, you are such a humble devotee. Even though you didn't know that the Lord Chaitanya is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he just took it that this boy, he's a Brahmin. He's from a very nice family. He knew the father, Jagannath Mishra. And he may be a little whimsical. Lord Chaitanya, Kulavicha Sridhar, along with other devotees, they were praying and praying that the conditions are so bad in society. Conditions are so bad. Why won't the Supreme Lord appear to do something about it? So they were praying and praying like that. And one day, Kulavicha was there selling his bananas, and it was the day Lord Chaitanya performed the Mahaprakash Leela, his pastime of 21 hours, spending 21 hours in ecstasy, sitting on the altar in Srinivas Thakur's house, revealing for the first time that he is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Chaitanya was calling all the devotees, call this one, call that one, so then they'd be brought, and he would reveal to them that he is God, and then they would all faint and become ecstatic. So the devotees, the Lord called out, bring that Sridhar. So the devotees went running down to Sridhar and told him, you know how you've been praying and praying for the Lord to appear. Well, he has appeared, and now he's calling for you. So Kulavicha Sridhar just fainted. They had to carry him to see Lord Chaitanya. And he opened his eyes and he saw, it's that young Brahmin boy that then Lord Chaitanya revealed that he's actually the Supreme Lord. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya, around that time, began to reveal the fact that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, he was also sometimes acting as a devotee on the highest level. So, sometimes, he would exhibit symptoms of transcendental madness. No one could understand what he was doing. He would worship the family deity. And he'd be crying so much then he would just perform abhishek, bathing for the deity with his tears. And people thought, oh, he's crazy. So they called for a doctor, and the doctor came and gave them some breathing exercises. Yes, this was the cure. Give him some breathing exercises. So, you know, it's an interesting point. We don't recommend anyone to perform any form of yoga without the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, or at least a bona fide teacher in such fields as these. Because, you know, you may think that, oh, I'll do some breathing exercises and so on and so forth, but it may have deeper effects on you than you were prepared for. Anyway, that was pranayama. Then pratyahara means withdrawing the senses, withdrawing the senses from their contact with the sense objects. Dharana means entering into a deeper state of meditation internally. Dhyana means actually being situated in that deeper state of meditation. And samadhi means to become totally liberated and totally fixed on the spiritual platform, completely independent of the body and any influence of the external world. It is not so easy. Srila Prabhupada, when he went to America, he noted that there were many middle-aged housewives, sort of like middle to upper middle class, somewhat affluent, and they were taking yoga lessons. But Srila Prabhupada noted that generally they were taking these yoga lessons in order to lose weight, because in their upper middle class affluence, they're eating too much. But it's not for that. It's not like that. And the process is going to be described in the sixth chapter, but it is introduced in this verse, verses 27 and 28 of the fifth chapter. You know, you have to shut out. If you want to do this Hatha Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, or any of these, like this meditation, this TM, you've heard of TM, Transcendental Meditation, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. So that is, whereas the Hatha Yoga, which is popular in the Western world nowadays, all the exercises and breathing, that is the asana and pranayama part of Ashtanga Yoga. So transcendental meditation, as it is taught, is an attempt, rather feeble attempt, at the dharana and dhyana phases of Ashtanga Yoga. But if you really want to get into it, you have to shut out all the external sense objects. Keep your eyes and vision concentrated between the two eyebrows or on the tip of the nose. And then this one I really like. You have to suspend the inward and outward breaths within the nostrils. How's that? Would anyone care to demonstrate? How? Yes, I don't know how you do that. Suspend, merge your incoming breath into your outgoing breath while sitting cross-legged for, you know, several hours. We are sitting here cross-legged, but some of us are falling asleep. Some of us are changing position because we're feeling uncomfortable. But you're not allowed to do that. You have to sit. You have to sit. And you can't move. then you have to stare at the tip of your nose. Could someone demonstrate that? Oh, very good. With eyes up. Maybe you make a champagne. But suspending the incoming and outgoing breaths into each other, I haven't figured out what that really means yet. In other words, it's not easy. Not an easy process. And of course the idea is really that you don't do it here in the comfort of your nice house in Reservoir Hills. No. With you know, your wife or mother or whoever providing meals two or three times a day, you know, TV if you want to take a break occasionally. No. You have to go to the Himalayas. Or at least the Drakensbergs. And that's it. For the rest of this life. You cannot come back. You cannot come back. You just stay there and do this. So it's very difficult, very demanding. And as a result, at the end of the sixth chapter, after Krishna has explained the process in more detail, Arjuna says that this system of yoga you have described to me seems too difficult. Chanchalam himana Krishna pramati balabhajanam tasyaham vigraham navye vayor eva sudushkaram. Arjuna says that, my dear Krishna, my mind is chanchala. You know this word, chanchala, chanchala? Flickering. Unsteady, unstable. This is the name for Lakshmi Devi. And Narayan is called Chanchalpati, a husband of her. Of course, she's not unsteady with him, but with everyone else. Because you all know, people like to worship Lakshmi independent of Narayan. Isn't it? They keep the Lakshmi lamp, isn't it? I think many of you do too, or some of you. But where's the Narayan lamp? Oh, I don't know about that. Yes. But Lakshmi, she is famous as the original dedicated wife. Totally, totally dedicated wife. So she's worshipped by women who would like to be good wives in India. So she's such a faithful wife, but you've got all these people trying to approach her independently of her husband. So as a first-class wife, do you think she likes that? All these men running after her, hey, come with me. But she's the original faithful wife. So she isn't interested in that. But of course, because she knows it's her duty. It's her duty given to her by her lord and husband. So if people come, she gives them something. But then as soon as she's given it, then she turns around and goes away. So the next time they turn around, give me something else, then she's not there. She's chanchala, flickering and unsteady. Or, in other words, because she's so steadily fixed on her husband and will not stay anywhere else. So Krishna said, Arjuna says, chanchalam himana Krishna. My mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong, O Krishna. And to subdue it is, I think, more difficult than controlling the wind. Do any of you ever have any trouble controlling your minds? No?
Why?
Oh, God. You know, Feldman, of course, he was really transcendent. He was just amazingly transcendent. One devotee came to him, to Prabhupada one time and said, "Shiva Prabhupada, my, I'm having so much trouble with my mind. It goes here, then there, and it's so hard. Shiva Prabhupada said to him, "Yes, I know. I also have trouble with my mind sometimes." So, of course, Prabhupada is completely transcendental. He's acknowledging that the mind is very difficult to deal with. It is as if it has, so to speak, a mind of its own. Something like that. You are there, and it is your mind. But it is off elsewhere quite a bit of the time. It is not so much that you can always do about it. So Arjuna, having heard about this system of yoga, which Krishna is just introducing in these two verses that we've read tonight, finally, after hearing in more detail at the end of the sixth chapter, Arjuna tells Krishna, "I don't think I can do it. I'm sorry. I don't think I'll make it." And he asks Krishna, "What is the fate of someone who can't make it in their practice of yoga? What happens to them? They've given up material life. So that's lost. That's gone. And now apparently they can't make it in their spiritual life. So that's lost." So Arjuna asks, "Will that person perish like a riven cloud, little piece of cloud that gets blown away from the main body of the cloud, little puffy piece of cloud just goes floating away, but after a little while the wind just blows it to pieces and then you look and it's not there, it's gone, just kind of dissipated into nowhere, into the atmosphere. So Arjuna is worried. You want me to do this? To sit down?" Just as Prabhu was very kindly demonstrating, staring at the tip of the nose with half closed eyes and something like that, and suspended by ingoing breath into my outgoing, and cut off any connection with the sense object, and withdraw my consciousness within. "Oh," Arjuna said, "you know, I don't think I'll make it. I don't think I can do it. So maybe I should just forget about it before I start and just stay on the material platform. Yeah, maybe I should do that." But then Krishna tells Arjuna that, what is that? He tells Arjuna that Asamshayam Mahabaho Manodurni Graham Chalam Abhyasena Chakuntaya Vairagyena Chagri Yate. "O mighty arm, son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment." So it can be done. It is not that it can't be done. Actually, anyone can do it. Arjuna is a warrior. Normally, we wouldn't expect warriors to be doing a lot of yoga out on the battlefield there. Would be rather hazardous. But Arjuna, as a warrior, through suitable practice which was actually appropriate to him according to his position, he was able to become a great yogi. And at the end of Bhagavad Gita actually becomes a perfect yogi. But there has to be some suitable practice, not some unsuitable practice which is just something too much, like some of these things we've been reading about. Prabhupada says here, you can't close your eyes when you're sitting, you know, doing your meditation and so on. You can't close your eyes because you may fall asleep. You can't have them completely open because you'll see everything and then you'll get attracted and you will not be able to become absorbed in your meditation. So they have to be kind of half closed, that's all very nice. Painstaking. Very difficult. When Srila Prabhupada first arrived in America in the mid-60s, maybe in 66, he was starting his preaching in New York. So he decided to try to cultivate people for Krishna consciousness by visiting the different yoga societies, because there were already some different groups of people, mainly doing these exercises, hatha yoga. So Srila Prabhupada went to Dr. Mishra's yoga studio or yoga club, and they had a little farm outside New York, so that people would go on the weekends for retreats. It was quite pleasant. Prabhupada went. They had a meditation room. Prabhupada thought, let me go in there and I will see who is more serious about meditating. And then afterwards I'll speak to them. Maybe they'll take to Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada was sitting in the meditation room, chanting softly on his beads, watching the meditators to see who was maybe more serious and who he could interest in Krishna consciousness. So he saw there they were, you know, closing their eyes, doing all these things. They were trying to do this. They were closing their eyes, half closed, but then some of them would open their eyes and then half close them, then open them. You know, they were sort of trying to get into it, but it wasn't easy. Others were half closing and completely closing. So Prabhupada noticed some of those ones, you know, half closing and completely closing, and then for a while, and then after a while, and their friends would also be coming back to external consciousness, so to speak, from wherever they were. And there one was, oh, I had such a nice meditation. I feel very refreshed. So Srila Prabhupada said, and he thought to himself, yes, of course you feel refreshed. Everyone feels refreshed after they've had a little nap. So it's not easy. Yeah, the one devotee who designed and built our temple, supervised the building, Rajaram Prabhu. He was one of these yogis. But I mean, like, the real thing. Yeah. He would sit and meditate sometimes for 24 hours. Yes, and just sitting like that, trying to meditate. But after, you know, a couple of hours or so, or a few hours, his joints would become so painful, It felt like his body was on fire. But he thought, I just have to do it. And sometimes he'd sit for 24 hours. And at the end, people would have to come and kind of extract his different parts of his body and straighten them out and pick them up and hold him up for a while before he could do anything. So it's really tough. Just those physical exercises, it's very tough. What to speak of the meditation? Now that's very, very difficult. to fix the mind. To fix the mind. You know, sometimes we talk about that. Someone is trying to meditate at home in Reservoir Hills, but in the next room, their sister is playing Kunch Kunch Ota Yebo, something like that. And in the other room, the other one, you know, more sort of up with the minute, is playing the latest techno rap music or something, whatever that is. And so you've got all these things. And then outside, the taxi goes past, boom, boom, boom. And then you are trying to meditate. So it doesn't really work. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. Not at all. And therefore Arjuna said, I can't do it. I don't think I'll be able to do it, so therefore I don't think I should try. I'll just stay on the material platform, that's all. At least I know where I am. But no, Krishna said, if you try by suitable practice and detachment, then anyone can make progress. So this is Srila Prabhupada's expertise, how to give suitable practice. It's very amazing, actually. You know, there's one purport in the third canto, Srila Bhagavatam, Prabhupada is talking about people who are trying to become Krishna conscious, independent of the international society, the Krishna consciousness. They're taking up, you know, they're doing a bit of chanting or a bit of this or that on Hare Krishna, but not really connected up with the bona fide mind. Now it says that if you try even to practice Krishna consciousness, what to speak of some esoteric process of meditation and hatha yoga and so on like this, stopping your breathing and all that, even if you try to practice Krishna consciousness without being properly connected with the devotees and following the actual process and even being supervised in the process. Srila Prabhupada says that if you try even to practice Krishna consciousness like that, he says that your spiritual activities and your material activities will not become distinct from each other. Think about that. That's a very profound and important statement. Means you'll always remain mixed up. Mixed. Something spiritual, but something material that will be mixed in with it. And what does that mean? Well, it means you're not going to really make much progress. Sort of half-baked Krishna consciousness. So, but the expertise of Srila Prabhupada and the great benefit of practicing, receiving Krishna consciousness through the chain of disciplic succession is that, as Krishna said in that other verse that I just read, that there is suitable practice. One can be actually trained nicely and in practical and real ways make progress. Step by step, Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya Anatha Nivriti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and Prema. One can make progress. Step by step and come to the highest platform. But even for anyone, working person, housewife, student, business person, doesn't really matter. If they follow the process according to suitable practice, but as it's nicely presented by Prabhupada, and also sort of, you could say, tailored to oneself even as an individual, then through that suitable practice, and some detachment, then one can make progress. One can control the mind and get free of one's attachments and aversions and all these things, and come to the spiritual platform. Come to that spiritual platform where you become independent of all the pushings and pullings of the material nature, independent of your mind, independent of your senses, and able to function as you want to execute a practical, constructive program of devotional service and cultivating your spiritual life. This is very nice. This is actually very important, because who wants to just be the servant of their mind or their senses forever? Just be forced to do things, sometimes which we don't want to do, and even sometimes which we know are not good for us, actually. Yes. So we have to come to that point of becoming self-controlled and able to do what we want, and in this way become fixed up on the spiritual platform in Krishna consciousness, in devotional service. And this is the process of sadhana bhakti that Prabhupada has given us. Just like some people ask, why 16 rounds? Why not 50? Or 40? Or 17? Why 16? Well, actually, it's very scientific. 16 rounds is the minimum. If you want to really, if you chant nicely and hear them nicely, then if you chant 16 rounds nicely, then the whole day you can be fixed up on that spiritual platform. And not that at some point